I call this meeting of the Committee on Housing Finance and Policy to order. Let it be noted that we do have quorum. Welcome, members. The first order of business today, if I could look for an approval of the minutes. Vice Chair Dodseth moves approval of the minutes. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved. All right, so today we have two like and similar bills that we'll be hearing today, but first on the agenda will be House File 483. Representative Lawrence, if you want to make your way to the front. And I move that House File 483 will be laid over for possible inclusion. With that, to your bill.
Mr. Chair and committee members, thank you very much. My name is Brian Lawrence, and I bring before you House File 483. This is a bill that would ban cities from prohibiting a commercial building or business from hooking up from propane or natural gas. And so it would just continue to allow them to be used alternative energy sources to meet their needs. And that's kind of the gist of the bill. It's just one of those things that says if a business so chooses to hook up to the gas that's in the ground or bring a propane tank and hook up to that, they have the ability to do so, and the city cannot ban them from using this energy source. With that, I also have a testifier with me today that's come to speak, and I'll defer to him and then answer any questions.
And Representative Lawrence, I should ask, it looks like you do have an amendment here at the desk. Would you like to move that as well?
Which amendment do you have?
I have the A1 amendment to your bill.
Okay. I didn't have that in front of me at the moment. Mr. Chair, how does it change the wording?
Should be for 43.
I was not aware of that.
One second here.
You can just call on me.
Okay. Nonpartisan.
Thanks, Chair and members. The amendment is a technical amendment to clarify a statutory reference that's in the bill. So it just updates it to the correct statutory reference.
Thank you. So with that, then I'll move the A1 amendment for the technical fixes. If there's any further discussion, that seems to be the description of it. Representative Lawrence, do you have anything to say?
Thank you.
Okay. All those in favor of adopting the A1 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment is approved. Representative Lawrence, to your bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate you being patient and bringing that amendment forward and clarifying what it was for. At this point in time, I just reiterate, this is a ban on natural gas and propane hookups prohibition, so that cities would not be able to ban or prohibit a business or commercial business from hooking up to natural gas that's in the street before them. With that, we've got a testifier with us that I'd like to introduce, Dave Wagner.
Mr. Wagner, welcome to committee. Please introduce yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Dave Wager. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Propane Association. The Minnesota Propane Association supports House File 483. Passage would prevent local governments from denying consumer choice when the people affected decide the most appropriate fuel for energy security for themselves, their families, and their property. According to the Energy Information Administration report for Minnesota from 2021 to 2022, electrical outage durations increased by 127% and the length of outages increased by 96%. A report from the North American Electric Reliability Corporation assessed the amount of generation that will be available compared to the projected demand for electricity and highlighted concerns about the risk of outages due to insufficient generation. The warning pointed out that the Mid-Continent Independent System Operator region, including Minnesota, is at the highest risk. It comes as utilities are grappling with the changes throughout the industry. Additionally, the power grid faces its greatest challenges during a few peak hours each year, but that changes as the industry transitions to new energy sources. The report details that supply challenges can arise over more circumstances in both summer and winter. A quote from Derek Moe, the CEO of the Minnesota Rural Electric Association. This report is a serious reminder that decisions we make today will impact our power reliability tomorrow. According to the report, a large part of the continent, including Minnesota, is at risk in the winter months if the weather is severe. In a state like Minnesota, having reliable power during dangerously cold winter weather can mean life or death. So energy choice is what is at stake here. Energy choice means a reliable and consistent energy supply. Propane offers reliability by being independent of external factors. Minnesota residents still need energy to power and protect their families, their homes, their businesses in the event of an extended power outage. Propane is energy stored in site and ensures a continuous energy supply even during adverse weather conditions. This reliable energy source is a lifeline in times of need. Energy choice and freedom will provide essential life-saving energy options for consumers. So thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Lawrence, for carrying this bill.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there any members from the public that wish to testify? Seeing none, we'll move into member discussion. Representative Bajaj.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative Lawrence. My question really is sort of, the idea behind your bill is try to keep this still as a choice for residents, but why preemptively prohibit cities from going in a different direction if further down the line, I don't know, 20, 30, 50 years, that there's new technology out or there's new information out and that city decides that they no longer want to use this energy source?
Representative Lawrence.
Yes, Chair Igo and Representative Bajaj. The reason this bill is necessary at this point in time is because we have seen movement in cities in minimizing the amount of energy or the type of energy that its businesses and industry can utilize within the in the limits of their city. And given the factors as far as our, I'm going to say, kind of energy scarcity as of right now that we're looking at, making sure that these businesses have an option and flexibility. I come from a rural area, which a few years ago we saw in the middle of winter many homeowners go without heat in a frigid winter because their gas line couldn't keep up to the pressure. They responded and they brought in a substitute heat for those homeowners and took care of the issue. However, being flexible with energy is what this bill tries to do, is allow that flexibility within a city for residents, and mine's focused on more businesses, but residents and business owners to continue to do business and the flexibility of energy usage to continue their operation.
Representative Bajaj.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I guess to me, I sort of see this as sort of telling cities like what to do. I mean, I think the hard part about this is probably more for the second bill than this bill, because this one is about propane, but it's, you know, we are seeing more data, more information come out about how dangerous some of these gases that the, when they're used and burned inside homes, can have an effect on people and can have detrimental health effects on them. So I'm just wondering why, like, if in the future, as we get more data on that and as more clean and reliable energy sources come on board, like, why we would prohibit a city from wanting to go in that direction if this resource is no longer something that they, but that's just my general question and comments and just something to think about, I think, as this bill continues.
Any follow-up to that, Representative Lawrence?
Mr. Chair, Representative Bajaj, thank you for that concern and bringing that perspective. Truly, this just continues to offer flexibility within our energy system, and that's the goal of the bill.
Any other member questions or discussion? I'll make some closing comments, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the bill being in front of us today, Representative Lawrence. Again, this is getting at returning choice to property owners and making sure that that's not going to be prohibited based on other things and other outside factors. I think you have the best free markets and you have the best affordability and you have the best stability when you have a free market to be able to decide those things. And making sure that we're allowing for that freedom of choice is going to be incredibly important as we look to our energy needs and also our housing needs. So, Representative Lawrence, to you for any closing comments.
I would just reiterate, I'd ask, thank you for choosing, Mr. Chair, thank you for choosing to lay this bill over as consideration. This is something that is necessary for our businesses and the flexibility in our energy needs going into the future.
Thank you, Representative Lawrence. And with that, I renew my motion that House File 43 be laid over for possible inclusion. As amended, thank you.
Thanks.
Next on the list will be House File 484, Representative Beckland. Representative Mecklen, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
If you'd like to move it, that is.
What's that?
If you'd like to move your bill, unless you would like me to move it
for
you.
I would like to move 484 for it to be laid over for future consideration.
Thank you, Representative Mecklen, to your bill.
To my bill. This is a bill that I've had well over 100 times in this, since I've been here, whether it was in the form of amendment or a bill. The simply would prohibit, much like the last bill you just heard, but running natural gas or connecting natural gas to residential homes. As we find this, we have this new demand for electricity coming about us, number one. Number two, where many of us that live out in rural areas, we are either dependent on natural gas or propane, and for some of us that we do have air source heat pumps, but unfortunately, despite what we heard yesterday in different committee, they stop working at about zero. And I know this because every time mine stops working, I get a text from somebody saying, you need to tell me how to switch this over again. So, and in fact, back in, I want to say 2012, maybe, there was a shipping issue with propane back then. Was that 2012, give or take?
12-13.
And our county building department started to take it upon themselves to say you had to have dual fuel. You couldn't be dependent on solely one source of heat. So it goes to show that we need to have all the above approach for our energy needs, and I think there are a couple people here that would like to testify. Chair Igo.
Thank you, Representative Mecklen. First on the list, I have Mark Foster. Welcome to committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and continue with your testimony.
Good afternoon, Chair Igo and committee members. For the record, my name is Mark Foster, and I'm the Vice President of Legislative and Political Affairs for Housing First Minnesota. Happy to be before the committee again. We are a trade group of nearly 1,000 members of the home building industry that have one goal in mind, advancing home ownership opportunities for all Minnesotans. Thanks for the opportunity to testify in support of Representative Mecklen's bill here today. As you all work to legalize more housing options statewide through land use and zoning reform, we appreciate this language today before you as a method of keeping affordable and reliable fuel source options for residential construction legal as well. As the committee is well aware, new construction costs are at an all-time high, and we have a massive supply crunch. So all policies that impact residential construction need to be viewed through the lens of how to improve affordability and how to remove roadblocks to the construction of more housing units. Recent data shows that natural gas is the most utilized fuel source for residential energy use, with data from the U.S. Energy Information Administration showing 65% of residential energy use in Minnesota came from natural gas during 2022. So protecting it as a fuel source option for residential construction statewide for the immediate future is helpful for consumers, for cost savings, and for predictability of development. And finally, this might be the most important piece, passing this bill should help stop future potential legal challenges, as other cities and states that have passed natural gas bans have been caught up in lengthy and costly legal battles in recent years. So for these reasons, we urge you to support the bill, and thank you for the opportunity to be before the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Foster. Is there anyone from the public who wishes to testify?
You don't have to if you don't want to. You can.
Yes.
Mr. Wagner would like to speak out on this as well. Wager.
Mr. Wagner, please introduce yourself again, and please continue to testify.
Here I go, members. Again, my name is Dave Wager. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Propane Association, and we also support House File 484, even though we are the propane industry. The passage of this bill would prevent local government units from denying consumer choice. This bill isn't about mandating an energy source for a home, but rather not allowing a mandated energy source for a home to be imposed. Mandating a single energy source for a home carries risk and may cause intended harm if the single energy source fails. I have a quote from Mark Timmer, the Midwest Reliability Organization Principal Technical Advisor, in his 2024 Regional Risk Report. Headlining the regional risk is uncertain energy availability, which has elevated from a high risk in 2023 to an extreme risk in 2024. This is the first time in the assessment's history that a risk has risen to an extreme priority. A reliable bulk power system requires generating resources to produce the necessary amount of energy to manage electricity demand at any given time. The energy mix is rapidly transforming to include more energy-limited resources that have uninsured fuel supplies, challenging the ability to provide power on demand. Energy choice is what is at stake here. Energy choice means reliable and consistent energy supply. In the event of an extended power outage, families still need energy. Food needs to be prepared and preserved. Medical devices need to work. Homes need heat and power. All of this is possible with a second energy source for people to rely on. Again, energy choice and freedom will provide essential life-saving energy options for consumers. So thank you, Chair Igo, and thank you, Representative Mecklen, for carrying this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Wager. All right, we'll move into member questions. Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And if Mr. Foster could come back, I have a question for him. And then as I lead up to that, I'll point out, I'm sure all of us have experienced power outages and during heavy snowstorms or whatnot and have had to turn on your gas fireplace. That's what sort of preempted or jumped my mind on this is we've all probably had all of our kids sleeping around the gas fireplace, if you have one, during the winter and when it's cold, which led to my question for Mr. Foster. In your association's new home builds, what percentage of them have gas fireplaces, gas furnaces, or gas stove hookups in those buildings? And heavy more on the gas fireplace, since I know that that's an easy solution for many people who want to buy a home.
Mr. Foster.
Yes, Chair Igo and Representative Nash, I can't say that we've pulled that surveyed our members specifically on that, but I would venture to guess it's very high, similar to that two-thirds of houses in Minnesota rely on natural gas in some capacity. I would venture most of our new builds have one of those three items you mentioned, but I'd say it's probably even north of that. 80 to 90% have either a natural gas fireplace, stove, or furnace. Mm-hmm.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think a lot of us remember, oh gosh, a couple years ago, two, 3 years ago, when the state of Texas had a huge ice storm, took down lots of power lines. I have family that lives down there or live down there. My dad's gone. And they kept their homes warm with a gas fireplace. And I think that the two bills that we've heard here today are very much akin to some of the stuff that we've been working on in other bills is that we want to provide choice to the consumer, particularly for the bill that I'm carrying that I think some of you are co-authors on is the aesthetic mandate. We're providing people who want that to be able to buy that if that's what their choice is. And I think that creating a preemptive piece of ordinance or piece of legislation that says you can't ban that, we're opening up the free market to provide options for these people who would like to buy or install a gas fireplace. My wife loves the gas fireplace from about, I don't know, September through now. And it's just a really great option. And even though I get down to a T-shirt, she makes her happy. And I think that that's a really good thing for us to provide for the people who live in the state of Minnesota to say, if you so choose to have this option in your home, we are not going to have a city preemptively remove that. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other member discussion? I'll make some. Oh, Representative Agbaje.
Thank you, Chair. So I'm still coming at this from the health angle about this just because I do have a gas stove. A lot of people have gas stoves. A lot of people rely on gas stoves and gas for their heating. But we're just getting to a point where there is a lot more information coming out about how that is actually becoming more of a health hazard for a lot of people. And so here in housing, I think one of the things to think about is like, how do we make sure we have healthy housing for folks, right? And so I am concerned because the byproducts that come off from using natural gas and from using, you know, other gas appliances and things like that, you know, really just lead to, you know, exposure to nitrous oxide, exposure to carbon monoxide, exposure to particulate matter, and all of those lead to respiratory issues like asthma. They lead to cardiovascular issues. And so when we're thinking about the type of housing we want to build, you know, I'm hoping that we're also thinking, how do we make sure that they're efficient, using energy well, and that they're not making the people who move into them sick. And so that's really where my concern with this bill comes. I'm not saying that, you know, there are cities right now that want to ban this in Minnesota. I don't think any city in Minnesota has yet to do that, but, you know, other places have been looking at this, and though it hasn't really quite gone anywhere yet because of various interaction with the court system, I think it is something that people should still continue to be aware of kind of what they're getting into when they purchase gas appliances. And so that's why I think prohibiting a future ban that no one is thinking of right now is sort of a little bit preemptive. But I would just say that I think the biggest concerns around this is really just let's not, you know, there's a lot of talk about free choice, but, you know, sometimes the choices we make actually lead to worse outcomes. And so it's just, it's good to be mindful of all the things that are out there and that we're not trying to steer people into something that could be harmful down the line. That's all I'll say.
Representative Mecklen, any follow-up to that?
Thank you, Chair Igo. With the health outcomes, there's plenty of stories that I could cite for you of an electric flat cooktop stove that is still very hot and a child sets a piece of plastic on it, which emanates a lot of toxins into the air. We could talk about the 1999-2000 Build-em-Tight ventilator rate, when the air quality of the interior, the envelope of the home, is now actually 80 times worse than the ambient air outside. So then we put in these mechanical air-to-air exchangers, which 10 years later they spontaneously combusted. Maple Grove's fire department put out a memo on this and threw toxins throughout the entire house because the entire interior of it's all made of plastics. I suppose if you know, there's a lot of people that burn candles that are putting CO2 potentially in the air, but that's the beauty of why we have a mandate that says you must have smoke alarms and CO2 detectors in your home within 10 feet of all doorways of a bedroom. So, and then gas stoves have been around for decades and decades. Prior to that, they were wood stoves that grandma used that were even of a poorer ventilation system. Most of our appliances now are all direct power vent, which are far better than a gravity vent. I don't really think there's any of that to be an issue, quite frankly, as someone that has to follow that regulation and code on a daily basis. But with that, Mr. Chair, I would ask that reiterate House File 484 to be laid over for future consideration. Thank you.
With that, House File 484 is laid over for possible inclusion. Thank you. With that, members, that concludes our business for the day. Thank you all for being here for a brief committee hearing, and we'll be back next week on Tuesday, March 25th. We are adjourned.